Though the idea of a nice long sleep may sound pretty tempting, animals actually go through an awful lot. They are continually cooling and reheating their bodies, putting huge stress on their organs, and some even make themselves diabetic. Hibernation is clearly no picnic, and things get even worse, as in an attempt to save energy, animals will dismantle the synapses in their brains. These are the parts of the neuron that send and receive signals, and without them, well, we're all pretty useless. But what's even more amazing is that when it's time to wake up again, they'll put them back together, just as they were. Professor Giovanna Malucci is clinical neuroscientist at Cambridge University, and she's here to explain how this amazing fact is part of her research on Alzheimer's. Hi, Giovanna.
Hi.
What is going on here? How are they dismantling their synapses, and how on earth are they putting them back together again?
I think you've heard already from our other speakers that there's lots of processes that slow down and are shut down for hibernation, and including metabolism. And one way to save energy is to stop the brain using its energy. And the dismantling of synaptic connections between brain cells is a way of doing that. What happens is, on cooling, there's a retraction of the what we call the dendritic arbor, you know, all the connections and branches of a brain cell that's connecting to another, and the actual contacts, it's like unplugging a plug from its socket. They're just removed so that no energy flows. When they rewarm, there's a signal to reconnect these structures. How that exactly happens is absolutely not known and very, very interesting to us. But we do know a lot about the processes that drive that regenerative capacity.
Is this happening all over the brain?
Yes, it's happening all over the brain and all of us all the time. There's a balance between pruning and generation or regeneration to maintain a sort of status quo. And learning and memory need new synapses, and then you prune and get rid of all your excess synapses when you sleep and when you and at other conditions. But the capacity for regenerating synapses and refreshing them is part of repair, and it's called structural synaptic plasticity.
So let me just get this right. What's happening in the animals with hibernation is a much more extreme version of actually something that's happening all the time.
Correct.
in humans and animals. So how have you been using this then in your work?
So we know that in the neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, which is the prototypical disease, but also many of the others, the earliest thing that happens before you get the brain cell degeneration is that synapses are lost. And as synapses are lost, memory goes down, what we call cognitive function goes down. And it's just not clear why there's this early loss of synapses, which is such an important stage in these diseases. And it's important, A, because it gives you symptoms, but B, because it's reversible. So that's a stage before the brain cells have died, before the neurons have died, when you can actually, if you can increase synapse number, you can restore memory. And so it's a very attractive, targetable point of intervention. And our starting hypothesis was that the reason that synapses are lost in early in Alzheimer's disease and early in Parkinson's, other disorders, is because there's a failure of this regenerative capacity that is part of our normal structural plasticity. And we used hibernation or induced laboratory hibernation in mice to test the ability of synapses to regenerate themselves in mouse neurodegeneration models.
And what did you find out? What's happening?
So we found very interestingly that mice which don't normally hibernate can hibernate in all the ways that you would normally expect. So if you cool them, they'll drop their body temperature, they'll dismantle their synapses, and they'll go into torpor. And then when you rewarm them, they come completely back to normal again. And what we found out was that normal mice dismantle and reassemble their synapses, but the mice that we used that had neurodegeneration models, that's the Alzheimer-type mice and a mice with a sort of prion disease, which is another neurodegenerative disease, they failed to reassemble their synapses. So they could unplug the plugs, but they couldn't put them back in again. And this lack of regenerative capacity gives us a good idea of why there's such an early loss in synapses.
Did you get a bit deeper into this? Did you get to see the protein that's involved? Is that right?
Yeah, we did. So we discovered that hibernation and cooling does two things to you. It shuts down metabolism and it shuts down protein synthesis. But there's a group of proteins that are upregulated, and these are called cold shock proteins. And they're a relatively new family of proteins. And one of these, which is called RBM3, which is RNA binding motif protein 3, is highly expressed in the brain. And by being upregulated during hibernation, that protein keeps a number of really important critical messenger RNAs that you're going to need for survival ready for to make into proteins when you wake up. And we found out that RBM3 is failing in the Alzheimer's brains, and if we put it back in, we can rescue them.
So you found this protein, RBM3. Where do you go now?
So we didn't find the protein. I mean, the protein is a known cold shock protein. What we've done is associated it with this failure of structural plasticity in neurodegenerative disease, in Alzheimer-type mouse models. And what we now want to do is understand the relevance for human disease, because what we found in the mice is that if you put the protein back in, it's incredibly protective. It gives them new synapses. It stops them getting neurodegeneration. It stops them getting memory loss, and it protects them in the long term. And you can do that either by cooling the mice very early to boost their endogenous or their own RBM3 levels, or by putting it in artificially. So now, obviously, this is a way in for neuroprotection for human disease, but cooling itself is not realistic or practical in the long term. It is used medically. It's used in newborn babies that have had hypoxic damage. It's used in post-stroke, and it's used in cardiac surgery and in many forms of neurosurgery. So we think that that's acting through RBM3, and our ideal would be to be able to manipulate RBM3 levels for protection without having to cool.
Wow, so that sounds really interesting. Thank you for coming in. That's Giovanna Malucci from the University of Cambridge.
And to continue with our sleepy theme, it's time to close the show now with Question of the Week. Felicity Bedford has been looking into James's question.